This is The Headline with Brandon Waltons, bringing you the biggest stories from across Texas. The Headline gives you the news you need to be an informed citizen. Hello, everybody. Happy Friday, and thank you for joining us on The Headline. I'm Brandon Waltons, Managing Editor of Texas Scorecard, and this morning I'm joined with Jeremy Kitchen, our Capitol correspondent, here to talk about some of the big stuff that's happened really in the last few days. We've actually got the legislature back in action. The Texas House is back. Democrats are back. Finally, you're actually seeing some stuff happen. We'll talk about what the legislature did last night, yesterday, in passing an election integrity bill. But first, I want to talk about, look, Democrats were gone for, like a month and a half, basically, freezing this process out. And the question on a lot of people's minds is, are there going to be any punishments?
Seemingly, so far, no. It's kind of a yet to be seen. I'm sure we'll talk about some of the resolutions and the differences that have been filed. You do have an obvious fracture in the House where there are some folks that seem to think there should be, and it's very obvious that there are other Republicans that seem to think that, no, we don't need to do that. So.
Right. I mean, you did see, just a little bit of a kind of backup of what we've seen since Monday and all this. On Monday, you had some Democrats releasing a statement saying, look, quorum's not perpetual, right. Sort of threatening that they could at any time decide to up and leave. And yet you didn't see the House doing a call of the House, right, where they would lock the doors or do anything to compel them to stay. You also had that same day on Monday, you had the Republican Party of Texas actually calling for some penalties as well.
Right. That's right. It was 32, I believe, House Democrats had basically reminded, this not so subtle reminder to House Republican leadership, that a quorum is not something that's perpetual.
Yeah.
Notably, when they were taking up or considering the omnibus election integrity bill yesterday, we're still not under a call of the House. There's still nothing that's been done to prevent anyone from leaving or from doing what it is that they did previously. So,
and looking at what the Republican Party of Texas is calling for, I mean, you had a statement from Matt Rinaldi, the party's chairman, right, who said, look, Republicans in the Texas House right now need to be working to strip committee chairmanships from Democrats who are still chairing some pretty key committees in the House. Saying that, the rules should be amended to revoke those committee chairmanships for anyone with more than 15 unexcused absences, and they need to enforce the call of the House, right? Essentially lock the doors, arrest quorum busters if quorum is not maintained. Some people have suggested maybe they need to post bond, there needs to be fees. And yet we haven't seen any of that really taking place so far.
Not so far. And keep in mind that, yes, there is a quorum, but there's still absent Democrat lawmakers that are not there. There's still folks that they still don't have all 148, lawmakers present at this time, which I'm sure some Republicans are fine with, right? As long as they've got a quorum, they can operate. But I think it should be said that there's still districts not being represented, right, by lawmakers there.
Well, we'll talk a little bit about this. We're going to pull up a clip here. You had on Tuesday when the House returned, you had State Representative Brian Slayton going to the back mic, okay, which apparently has been shut off. We have heard the back mic, literally tap on it, no sound.
That's right.
This back microphone, he goes to it to be able to ask Speaker Phelan some questions about whether or not there are going to be punishments, whether there's anything they can do. Check out this clip.
Parliamentary inquiry.
Please state your inquiry.
Mr. Speaker, were we operating under a call of the House last week?
We were until we adjourned on Thursday.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Parliamentary inquiry.
Please state your inquiry.
Is the chair advised on how many members were actually arrested and escorted back to the chamber during the call of the House?
That is not a proper parliamentary inquiry, Mr. Slayton.
Okay. Mr. Speaker, would it be in order to move a call of the House to maintain a quorum to ensure Democrats do not abandon the chamber again?
You would have to be recognized by the chair, and you would have to make a motion at the front microphone and be recognized by the chair.
When is the next opportunity that motions would be in order? Parliamentary inquiry?
Mr. Slayton, you got to come down front to ask that question. That's not something that can happen at the back microphone.
Mr. Speaker, parliamentary inquiry.
Please state your inquiry.
Many members, myself included, were looking to get answers for our constituents, but were denied the right as a member to ask parliamentary inquiries since the Speaker decided to turn off the back mic while we were under a call of the House. Is it in order for the Speaker to turn off the mic during the remainder of this session?
Mr. Slayton, that is not a proper parliamentary inquiry.
So, Mr. Speaker, parliamentary inquiry.
Please state your inquiry.
Were we allowed to ask questions at the back mic during a call of the House?
Parliamentaries are not in order during a call of the House. Mr. Slayton, you and I have discussed this. And we do not have a quorum. There is no parliamentary inquiries, Mr. Slayton.
Okay. Parliamentary inquiry, Mr. Speaker.
Please state your inquiry.
Is it in order for me to move to suspend all necessary rules to lay out H.R. 71, a resolution mandating that the back mic never be turned off while the House is in session, or call the House?
Mr. Slayton, once again, to make a motion like that, you must be recognized by the chair at the front microphone.
Parliamentary inquiry.
Please state your inquiry.
Mr. Speaker, does the Texas House currently have a Speaker pro tem?
That is not a proper parliamentary inquiry, Mr. Slate.
Parliamentary inquiry.
Please state your inquiry.
Is there a House rule that mandates the Speaker appoint a Democrat as the Speaker pro tem?
That's not a proper parliamentary inquiry, Mr. Slate.
Mr. Speaker, I'm asking about House rules.
Mr. Slayton, under long-standing precedents and House rules, the chair does not entertain general questions about House rules.
Parliamentary inquiry.
Please state your inquiry, Mr. Slayton.
Mr. Speaker, is the chair advised that the majority of Texans and the vast majority of House District 2 residents would like to see a Republican nominated to the powerful position of Speaker pro tem and not a Democrat?
The chair is not advised.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Following bills, first reading referral, the clerk read the bills.
HB 3 by Murray.
As you can see watching that clip, I mean, Speaker feeling not too happy to be taken to task on the mic. But it wasn't actually just State Representative Brian Slayton. You also had State Representative Tony Tinderholt sort of joining the rebellion, taking on the empire against him there. Look at this exchange.
I have two parliamentary inquiries, sir.
Please state your inquiries.
Mr. Speaker, the final item on the governor's call relates to legislative quorum requirements. I believe that we as a body could use Rule 4, Chapter E, Section 51, in which we resolve ourselves into a committee of the whole with a motion of 10 seconds. According to Rule 4, Section 53B, in doing so, the House chamber would be locked. No members allowed to be permitted to leave. Mr. Speaker, would it be in order for me to step forward to request permission to suspend the rules to refer H.R. 72 to the committee of the whole, and then secondly, be recognized for a motion to resolve into a committee of the whole today to hold ourselves accountable, to keep a quorum and maintain a quorum and do the people's work in Texas, sir?
Mr. Tinderholt, that is not a proper parliamentary inquiry.
Parliamentary inquiry.
As indicated previously today, if you want to make a motion, it must be done so at the front microphone.
Mr. Speaker, I'm going to move forward to make two motions, sir. Thank you.
The following resolution on first reading and referral, the clerk will read the resolution.
H.R. 72 by Fasut, amending House Rule 1, Section 15, and House Rule 5, Sections 3 and 8, referred to the Committee on House Administration.
So as you can see, that resolution, I mean, that was a resolution by Cody Fasut, H.R. was 72, I think.
That's right.
That would actually put in place some punishments for those Democrats that did leave. This happened earlier this week. It was referred to the Committee on House Administration to look at those rules. And it looks like surprise, that resolution is not actually the one that's moving.
That's right. After being referred, it is yet to be scheduled for a hearing. And as of this morning, actually, the House Administration Committee posted a committee hearing for tomorrow morning, Saturday morning, for another resolution, completely different resolution, House Resolution 96, by State Representative Drew Darby out of San Angelo area, that would seek to do certain penalties, but only moving forward, not for the Democrats that have paralyzed the House for 30 seconds.
Right. I mean, the things like, you know, okay, well, the House could maybe consider revoking their committee chairmanships, a power that I think arguably they already do have. Sure. But if there's not a quorum and, you know, it only applies, like you said, going forward, you start to look right at the list of co-authors on this bill. It's authored by Drew Darby, who's been one of the most liberal Republicans in the House.
That's right.
He's joined by Hugh Shine, a whole host of co-authors that are Republicans that, you know, to put it quite frankly, right, are not people that have been at the tip of the spear or even really the front half of the spear of conservative battles in the House. And so that alone, I think, leads a lot of people to be, wait, what's going on here?
That's right. I mean, to your point, a lot of the co-authors or the people, there's 50 plus folks that are authored on this resolution already, having just been filed, I guess, yesterday. It is very obvious that, you know, the verdict's in, right? Like, this is what Republican leadership is going to go with, seemingly. And a lot of those, a lot of the supporters so far of the bill are part of that very, you know, empire, as you alluded to earlier, this kind of this Republican establishment, if you will, in the House, seemingly not wanting to penalize the very people that have prevented them from doing business for over a month.
Right. Another rumor or what's being reported kind of in capital circles right now is that they're also looking at, okay, well, maybe if we have to punish the Democrats in some way, maybe we'll, we'll find them all $1,000 from their campaign accounts, which you know from working in the Capitol, working campaigns, is really nothing.
That's right. I would be surprised if they had lobbyists write them a check for $1,000 just to like not even affect. I think the big takeaway there is they are making this false equivalency of like, oh, it's only $1,000, you know, for the 50 something Democrats that left, so amounting to $50,000, even though people like Jared Patterson himself, right? Like Jim Murphy, the Republican caucus chair, have said it cost taxpayers at least $750,000, $1 million, right, to do what they did. They're making a false equivalency to say, oh, it's fine. $50,000, you know, give or take from y'all's campaign accounts collectively is enough, you know?
Right. But, you know, not just trouble with Republicans, right? The other side has problems too, as we all know. And actually, you've seen this play out here with some splits with House Democrats right now, even as enough of them have been brought back to achieve a quorum, some Democrats are upset that their comrades have returned to the House to conduct business. And you actually saw this play out with a brand new caucus that formed this week.
That's right. It was announced, I guess, Monday or earlier in the week here just a few days ago, I guess, that there is a now progressive caucus in the Texas House of Representatives. I would have argued that it already existed, you know, just unofficially. But, you know, of course, conveniently, it's full of folks that all busted quorum. Mm-hmm. And it's very obvious that there is a split. You know, who knows how big that rift actually is, but a split between Democrats who thought we shouldn't have come back, right? We shouldn't have come back and allowed them to consider some of these bills. And it'll be interesting to see how that plays out. It's composed of 20 lawmakers as of right now. So
Interesting. It's not just inside the legislature where interesting stuff has been happening this week. You also had Governor Greg Abbott issuing another set of executive orders now saying that, okay, no vaccine mandates from governments for the COVID vaccine, sort of strengthening a previous executive order of his. But then he also tasked the legislature with just, you know, less than 2 weeks left now with another item. And it's sort of being posed as if, okay, he's asking the legislature to prohibit vaccine mandates. And yet you look at the language of it, and that's not really exactly what it says.
That's right. The language, it says legislation regarding whether any state or local governmental entities in Texas can mandate that an individual receive a COVID-19 vaccine, and if so, what exemptions should apply to such mandate.
I mean, it seems pretty big, right? I mean, that weather carries a lot of weight there, you know? Whether any state can do it. I mean,
Sure. Also, notably, only for right governmental entities, not for the, you know, what was left off in the regular session, which was the employer, the business employee-employer mandates, allowing them to continue to do so. Right.
And one more bit of legislative news there. You've got Senate Bill 1. That's the election integrity bill that was sort of the cause for a lot of these Democrats to leave town. Really going back to 3 months ago at the end of the regular session when enough of them walked out on the penultimate day in order to kill that bill. It made it back to the Texas House yesterday in a hearing that went about 12 hours. I think it went from about 11 o'clock in the morning to about 11:30 at night. And it has finally passed the House, but you know, not without a marathon of debate.
That's right. I would put debate in quotations, Mark, just because most amendments that were considered were certainly partisan in nature, right? Mm-hmm. Like most of the vote spread was the Republicans that were there versus the Democrats that were there, barring a handful of amendments that actually got on there where there was a Republican split. I think what's notable, though, and I get this question a lot, is that the election integrity bill that the House gave initial approval to today, and yesterday, and then today they'll finally pass it, is different than the election integrity bill that was to be considered at the end of the regular session, right? And so it's an omnibus election integrity bill, but there were some concessions made.
Sure, and so we're seeing some of that. I mean, specifically when it comes to, okay, maybe people can vote here, right, or their process online. They can do things like that. I mean, this bill, though, really, I mean, you look at the way it was debated a couple months ago, last time we saw it on the floor, versus the way we saw it yesterday, and it really was a much more vanilla exchange. I mean, I think, interestingly, you had Speaker Phelan right off the bat banning the word racism from the debate in an effort to keep things civil.
Sure.
You also had this time a new author of the bill, Andrew Murr, who laid it out. And I thought, you know, watching it, did a pretty good job of fending off attacks and keeping calm during the entire exchange.
That's right. It was without saying the word that you weren't allowed to say. It was very obvious that there were efforts, especially by Republican leadership, to keep it as non-contentious as possible to probably avoid whatever deal had been kind of cut behind the scenes to prevent Democrats from breaking quorum. Because once again, there's been nothing done to prevent that, right? There was they could at any time. They could still do it anytime. They could do that today. And so it was very obvious that they were trying to keep it kind of even keeled and not have too much, you know, kind of rhetoric that was a little outside the scope of what they were talking about. I mean, there were a few heated exchanges, but it certainly was a night and day difference compared to the first time.
Yeah. You did have one amendment I do want to mention where you had State Representative Brian Slayton, who we saw just earlier, but did offer an amendment that was ultimately successful that would put into place some audits going forward, some random audits in some counties. Another issue, to your point, where you actually did get a bit of a split with Republicans as well.
That's right. It narrowly passed. There was a vote verification that was called, and it turned out it ultimately did get put on the bill. And my understanding is what the amendment does is, I think it's two or three counties chosen at random every cycle will get audited. One of those counties are above a certain population threshold, so large cities or large counties, and then another one of those counties is below a population threshold, so a rural county, for instance, and they're supposed to be chosen at random, and every cycle, every election cycle, when it's done, they can't be a county that was chosen last time, right? And so that was his way to get at kind of the audit issue that's become such a big issue in activist circles.
All right, so what are the next steps on the bill now? It's going to pass, we assume, finally out of the House today.
Today.
Yeah. And then?
They're convening right now. I believe they're supposed to convene at 11 a.m. And so who knows if they're actually getting to it yet. But
well, they're trying to go head-to-head with the headline.
That's right. They're competing.
So maybe they'll just wait on us to be done.
They're supposed to bring it up for third reading. The assumption is, of course, that it'll pass probably in the same vote spread it had last night, which are purely on partisan lines. There were some differences. So assuming it passes today, it'll go to the Senate. And ultimately, the Senate gets to choose how it reconciles those differences. They get to choose to accept the House amendments, or they can choose to appoint a conference committee, which kind of is reminiscent of what happened at the end of the regular session. And then the conference committee that's appointed by the House and Senate, composed of five members each, will kind of, they're supposed to debate the differences in the bill. They submit what's called a conference committee report, and both the House and Senate will have to adopt it, if that's the route they choose.
All right. Now, we've still got plenty more on the calendars. I mean, today you've got a calendar in the Texas House where they're going to be looking at things like border security funding, social media censorship, issues like that that have not really been debated yet on the House floor because they were killed during the regular legislative session. I'm going to kind of put you on the spot a little bit here, but, you know, this second special session ends Sunday, September 5th, is less than 2 weeks away. Do you think they're going to make it and pass out all these items?
I think that's the question, is we're 10 or 11 days away from the end or the forced end of the 30-day, maximum allowed 30-day special session. That's the question, right? I think Republican leadership, at least on social media, has been very keen on the last few days saying, oh, we're getting to work, we're doing things finally, right? But we're doing things. It is a yet to be seen how quickly they will, if they get to the entirety of Abbott's agenda, or if the verdict's already in on, hey, we're going to accomplish these things, and then, and maybe the redistricting special session that's supposed to happen, right? They add a few others.
Interesting. Well, thank you for filling us in on all that, Jeremy. We've got one question, actually, I want to get to. Somebody watching live right now in the comments asks, how did Phelan get the job? Talking about Speaker Dade Phelan of the Texas House. How did Phelan get the job? And what is the difference between the front and the back mic? So first question, how did Speaker Phelan get this job?
Sure. So the Speaker of the Texas House is someone that's selected from the membership. So from the 150 members of the Texas House of Representatives, he, of course, was finally, he was selected unanimously. There wasn't,
You had a couple members.
But he had secured the votes almost, I think it was 2 or 3 days after the November general election. Now, normally the horse race that happens, right, is there were a few people that had announced ahead of time, notably some Democrat lawmakers, but they all eventually kind of threw their weight once they saw where the prevailing winds were going behind Dade Phelan. And, you know, first day of session is when that the House rules and stuff are considered, or they start to be considered. And also, hey, we're going to elect the Speaker. And it turns out Dade Phelan was elected. I think he was first elected in 2014, 2015. That was his first session, and now he's Speaker of the House.
All right. And what about the difference between the front and the back mic? A lot of times we show these clips where lawmakers are having an exchange with each other or with the speaker, and you see a microphone in the back and you see a microphone in the front. What's the difference?
Sure, the back mic is where generally questions or parliamentary, you know, inquiries or questions are asked, if you will, of either an author of a bill or an amendment that's being laid out or of the speaker himself. The front mic is where motions are made, parliamentary motions. That's where bills, like if you're the author of the bill or the author of an amendment, that's where you're introducing it, right? And then of course you have the dais, which is behind, you know, behind the front mic, and that's where the chair, normally the speaker, but sometimes someone else filling in his stead, kind of facilitates the parliamentary process.
Right.
If you will.
So, okay. Yes. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you for that that explanation. And I want to get to a few housekeeping things. One, we've got a new podcast here at Texas Scorecard premiering this afternoon. A short series of Texas legislature autopsy reports, the autopsy files. Looking at this first one. Is going to be looking at constitutional carry, okay? How did constitutional carry go from being a priority for a decade of Republicans to finally now being signed into law and going to effect actually just in a few short days here on September 1st? That podcast has Rachel Malone from Gun Owners of America, and it's going up live on Facebook, YouTube, TexasScorecard.com, and any place that you listen to podcasts, if it's Apple Podcasts, Spotify, etc. We're going to have a new episode next week as well. You're not going to want to miss, but make sure to check that out this afternoon at 2 p.m. when it goes live. And while you're at TexasScorecard.com, our shop, our store, maybe you've seen some of our stuff. I've got mugs, all this. We've got a grand opening this weekend, okay, which means that everybody's going to get 15% off with the code SCORECARD. The code SCORECARD, it's hard to remember, but you know, code SCORECARD to get 15% off. And we'll drop that down in the comments if you're watching live. We've not only got these cool mugs, we've got sweatshirts, t-shirts, hats, and we've got new products being added all the time. Great way to show folks that you are indeed a patriot, indeed love liberty in Texas. You can grab some of that stuff. And if you know somebody who really has been working hard to advance liberty in the Lone Star State, please let us know by nominating them for our Conservative Leader Awards. We've got nominations open for that, where we like to every year recognize at our Conservative Leader Awards on December 4th in Irving, Texas. We like to recognize the grassroots leaders that are doing the work, that are putting it in. So maybe it's somebody who's been going to school board meetings and has been fighting the fight there, or somebody who's been making sure that citizens are understanding what's going on. They've been making good efforts there. Please let us know about those folks. And we've got the nominations open in the link down there. And lastly, if you know somebody who would be a great candidate, somebody 18 to 25 who would love to be involved here at Texas Scorecard, you should recommend their fellowship, our fellowship to them. We're now accepting applications for spring, summer, and fall of 2022. This is, again, it's open to 18 to 25. You don't have to be enrolled in college. There's a paid stipend as well, and folks can have the opportunity to get involved in things like writing, research, administration, development, all of that. So we encourage you to forward that along. I want to say hello to everybody watching us live. We've got Sharon, of course, watching from Fort Worth. Glenn from Glen Heights. Tiffany and Steph, of course, tuning in from Deer Park. Good to see them on. Ruth York watching from Cisco. Loved having you on here. Again, if you have any questions about anything going forward, please feel free to drop them down in the comments. We're going to be watching the Texas Legislature. Texas House is getting to work just right about now. So we're going to be following their action now through the weekend, next week, and until the end of this second special session. You can follow along with all that action at texasscorecard.com. For right now, thank you so much for joining us. Have a great weekend.
Thank you for listening to The Headline from Texas Scorecard. We're live every Friday at 11 a.m. on the Texas Scorecard Facebook page to talk about the biggest stories of the week, so check us out there or listen to the podcast on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, whatever platform you prefer. And while you're there, you can also check out the ever-growing line of podcasts and programming provided by Texas Scorecard.